Good morning.
Good morning.
Title of the message is about the gospel of salvation. Key verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 to 11. And the key verse is 3 and 4. Let's read it all together. Let's begin. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in spite of living a life that displeases You and dishonors You, You did not turn Your face away from us. Instead, You showed Your deep love to us by sending Your only Son to suffer unbearable pain to free us from the bondage of sin. Lord, help us to live in undivided devotion to You, and at this time, empower me with Your Holy Spirit to convey the message of the Gospel and plant one Word of God in our heart today. In Jesus' name, Amen. So today we want to talk about the Gospel. But we specifically want to learn about what the Gospel is all about. In brief, the Gospel is Jesus' death and resurrection. The Gospel is also the pillar of the Christian faith and the way of salvation and eternal life. Let's read verse 1 all together. Let's begin. Now brothers, I want to remind you of the Gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Paul was talking to the Christians of Corinth. They had at one time heard the Gospel and they believed it from their hearts. But somehow, after some time, they forgot what the Gospel is all about. The Gospel began to lose its meaning in their lives. The question is, how could such a thing happen to them, when the Gospel once meant everything to them? Let's see. Life was not so easy, especially for Christians. The world, as usual, was filled with temptation which attracted everyone. The temptation to have an easier and more comfortable life tempted everyone, even Christians. For example, some were tempted to compromise the sacrificial life they had vowed themselves to when they first made a confession of faith in Jesus. Once for them, being poor wasn't so bad as long as they had Jesus in their heart. They felt they had everything, even though they have only a penny in their pocket. They were happy to be poor because they were doing it for Jesus' sake. But now, they didn't seem to be happy to be poor anymore. So they felt they could compromise sacrificial life just a little and enjoy some worldly comfort. Once they trusted God with their lives and future, but now they were asking questions. Is it really necessary for me to sacrifice so much all the time? Do I really have a future after I have given up so much? They felt that something was missing from their lives. But Paul knew that what was missing from their hearts is the Gospel itself. The Gospel which once strengthened them to live as Christians was now forgotten. Paul was sure that even though they had many problems, they really had one problem. They had no Gospel. And without Gospel, they were lost. So Paul wrote these verses to help these Christians, his Christian co-workers, to think about the Gospel once again. He wanted them to think about why the Gospel is always the solution to every and all problems. But to help them recapture the wonder of the Gospel, Paul needed once again talk about the problem of sin, because it was sin which robbed them of the Gospel. What then is sin? And why is sin so powerful that it can even make a Christian forget the Gospel? Let's see what Paul says about this. Let's read verse 3 all together. Verse 3. Let's begin. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to these verses, sin is the greatest problem of mankind. All human beings are sinful, no exception. The Bible tells us that we inherited the sin problem from the first man, Adam. We only need to look at our thought world and action to realize that there is a certain power at work in our hearts that makes us sin. And that something is sin. And man could do nothing about it. In other words, all human beings were helpless when it comes to the power of sin working in their hearts. But look at verse 3 again. Paul tells us that God took the initiative to solve our sin problem for us. God saw the condition of man living in sin and planned to save humankind from sin. So what did he do? God offered a solution for the sin problem through the gospel. As we mentioned, the gospel is simply Jesus' two awesome accomplishments, his death and his resurrection. So Paul says the solution to the sin problem is the gospel. He means that God's solution is clearly based on Jesus' death and resurrection. Look at verse 3 again. It says, Christ died for our sins. So why did Jesus have to die for our sin? Mostly because sin demands a price. And the price is death. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. This means that sin is not free. People sin, but at the end they must pay for their sins with their lives. But more than that, they must also face God's judgment. Why? Because sin is offensive to the holy God and offensive to man. We know the outward sins such as lying or cheating, adultery or murder. At the same time, sin is more than outward acts of aggression. This stems from an inward disease. In other words, sin is a disease of the soul. Imagine, for example, what skin cancer does to the human body. Ulcers and sores show up on the skin. Then it works its way until it gradually destroys the body. The sores are symptoms of the disease. In the same way, the sins people commit outwardly are symptoms of a spiritual disease called sin. So we can imagine then what sin does to the heart, the mind, and the soul. But since we can see with our eyes what sin does to our souls, let's take a look at what the Bible tells us about this. First, the Bible tells us that sin destroyed the relationship between God and man. When God created the human being, he had every intention to have a father-son or father-daughter relationship with them. At the time, there was no sin in the world. But sin came to the world. But when sin came to the world, it affected man's soul so much that man lost his holiness, and so his relationship with the holy God was broken. For example, all human beings should feel free to come to Father God. But because of sin, human beings are like orphans and strangers to God. They have no relationship with him. Second, the Bible tells us that sin ruined the image of God in us. At first, when God created man, he created us to be like him. For example, he made us to be pure, loving, kind, generous, forgiving, holy, just like him. But sin damaged our soul so much that we were no longer even close to God's image, that we became more like ogres. Sin makes men hate when they should love. hold grudges when they should forgive. Sin damages the image of God in us. Third, the Bible tells us that sin robbed us of the meaning of life. At first, God made us with a purpose to love and to serve Him. Man found meaning in the fact that he was created to love and serve God. But when sin came to the world, it took the meaning out of our lives and replaced it with a mundane and subhuman struggle to only survive. What meaning is there in simply surviving? None. For this reason, instead of faith, assurance, and peace, most human beings are anxious and insecure, doing nothing with their lives other than working hard to make a living. Sin took away the meaning of life. Fourth, the Bible tells us that sin finally leads to death. People sin, and at the end, they get tired of fighting against it. Eventually, they stop fighting their sinful tendency and justify it, claiming, "This is how I am. I'd better accept it." Then they become so sin until they cannot recognize it as sin anymore. Others don't even care if they are sinning or not. They say, "Well, as long as no one is hurt." But the problem is that God is hurt, and others are hurt also by their sin. And they themselves are hurt the most, because sin, like cancer, does not stop. It ruins their lives, and in the end, brings death and condemnation. This is the truth about sin and what sin does. But still, the question remains, why did Jesus have to die for it? Think about the condition of the soul under the destructive power of sin. Human beings were helpless. No one could do anything about it. More than that, it brought death and judgment. But when man was helpless, God did something marvelous. God gave us a Savior to save us from our sin. Sin demands punishment, so Jesus was punished in our place. Sin slaves us by its power, and so Jesus died to set us free from bondage to sin. This is not hard to understand. If we had violated the traffic law and were locked up in a jail, but we had no money to pay for the fine, we must carry our sentence, right? But if someone pays our fine, the sentence is revoked and we are set free by the love and action of that friend. So did Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our friend who loves us so much that He paid with His life the penalty of our sin. Of course, the sin problem is much more serious than a traffic violation. Sin is so serious that it demands a ransom paid in blood. A ransom no one could pay for himself or herself. But Jesus was willing to pay with His life to set us free. Jesus paid a price for the sin that He did not even commit. Our loving Savior shed His blood for us and for our terrible sin. The prophet Isaiah said of Jesus, "Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wound we are healed. For He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus did this out of His love for us. People say, "God doesn't love me. God doesn't care." But there is no love greater than the love God shows us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We need to believe God's love from the heart and accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sin. Then we are forgiven and saved from our sin. But Jesus' death was not all. Let's read verse 4 all together. Verse 4, let's begin. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. See, there is another part of the Gospel. It declares that Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection is also as beautiful and glorious as the death of Jesus. And there is hope in it for all who believe. First, Jesus' resurrection is the power of God that overcomes the power of death. For those who do not know the resurrection, the thought of death being the final destiny brings sorrow, despair, and fear into their everyday life. It mostly makes men surrender to fate, which leads them to sin even more. But the resurrection testifies that death is not the end. In fact, it is the beginning of a new life in God. If we hold faith in the resurrection, we get our focus off of the fear, despair, sorrow, and hopelessness of the day of day-to-day life, and think instead of the final victory, our own resurrection. Second, Jesus' resurrection gives us resurrection faith to live by. When conscientious people live without God and sin controls their life, they feel guilty and useless. They feel as if they can achieve nothing in their lives. They have no power to do anything. Because every time they want to do something good, sin traps them and leads them astray. But in the risen Jesus, there is power that raises a dead man to life and makes him alive. A man dead in sin is useless. This means a man dead in sin is useless to God. But a man alive in Christ by the resurrection is forgiven, renewed, hopeful, and useful. When we put our faith in the resurrection, God makes us alive from day to day and helps us do what is right before God. When we falter or fail, He does not condemn us. Instead, He raises up again and again by the power of the resurrection and help us to stand by faith and finish the race. Third, the resurrection of Jesus also gives us hope. We call it the living hope in the kingdom of God. A living hope is living as opposed to a dead hope. When people live without God, trapped in sin, all they really hope for is less than ordinary things that may come true or not. They are so defeated by sin that even the hope of getting up early sounds like a good hope. They are so defeated by sin that even the hope of a good grade or a pay raise or short vacation sounds great. But these are less than worthwhile hopes. In fact, they are dead hopes. They are dead because they are short-lived and temporary. But the Bible says that the resurrection gives us a living hope. A living hope is a worthwhile hope. A living hope is an enduring hope. A living hope is a hope that goes beyond what we can see and touch in this world, deposited for us in heaven. A living hope also believes that God loves me and has given me eternal life through faith in Jesus. A living hope believes that God has great things in store for me here on earth and also later in His kingdom, no matter what my human condition may be. This is hope worth living for, a hope worth holding to in our hearts. This is a living hope that nothing in this world can take away from me. We suffer as God's people. We may be poor and destitute. We may be misunderstood or mistreated. But one thing is for sure. Nothing can touch this living hope in our hearts because God gave it to us through the resurrection of Jesus. So we must hold on to the living hope from day to day with resurrection faith until we fulfill our purpose in this life. Look on verse 5 and 11. This verse assures us that the resurrection of Jesus is not a fairy tale, nor the resurrection of Jesus is man-made story. They assure us that the resurrection was real as the sun rises and sets every day. They tell us that the resurrection was witnessed by many people, great and small. But mostly, Paul tells us that he himself is the witness and the defender of the gospel, because he has personally been touched and changed by it. So he says in verse 10a, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." What he meant was that I was a sinner, trapped in sin, hopeless, empty, and miserable. But today, I am a child of God. I am a servant of God because he loved me and forgave my sin and made me what I am today. No one could help nor change a sinner like me. But the reason Jesus came into my life, and by his resurrection power, he has made a new man out of me. Now I live by his resurrection faith. Now I have a living hope. And I pray to God that you too may receive the gospel of salvation and become what I am, a man forgiven by God, and blessed to be part of his salvation work in history. Let's read our key verse again, 3 and 4. Let's begin.
For what I receive, I pass on to you as a first importance, that Christ died for our sin according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Jesus, who gave us the gospel on which we have taken our stand. Thank you for Jesus, who came to solve our sin problem. Father, we come to you as nothing but a sinner that needs to be punished. But thank you for Jesus, who died for our sin. Please restore the damaged image of God in us because of sin. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus' resurrection, the power of God that overcomes the power of death. Through the gospel, may you restore the meaning of our lives. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.